I think a lot of us agree there's a lot of key issues that we're trying to solve in this country, and those issues have divided us in a lot of ways, and those issues need solutions, and maybe there's some good solutions coming from different areas as well. But one thing we do need is leadership when it comes to addressing the problems and moving forward to a solution. And that's why we're talking an awful lot with candidates here during this primary season, and we'll do it on through the general election as well, because leadership matters. And you're going to be picking not just someone who's going to vote, you're going to be picking someone who is going to lead, right? That's what we're doing here, and you have a chance today to find out about the leadership qualities and the direction and the policy of Dr. Al Olszewski, candidate for U.S. House, Montana's Western District. That today on Voices of Montana. We're getting along here, aren't we? It's primary season comes and goes so fast, right? And then we just forget that there's two kind of election seasons, and so it drags on, it seems like. But these are very important times for us, so... thank you for making us a part of your Montana day and making this, put this on your plate as well as a way to get informed. We need informed voters here today. And that's why it's a pleasure to have in studio Dr. Al Olszewski here, Kalispell, Montana, orthopedic surgeon, Air Force veteran, former Montana legislator, and Republican candidate for the U.S. House seat over there. How are you?
Hey, Tom, I'm doing great. Hey, good morning, Montana.
Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it beautiful, you know, to be able to say that?
Right? You know, over here, I swear that you get springtime 2 weeks faster than we do in Kalispell.
Well, that's probably a bad thing because then we dry out a little bit faster, too. Although you guys have had a rough time getting water up in your area.
Well, I'm going to tell you, we've been wet. We've had a winter that never was. But it really, we've had three small mini winters that comes and goes, comes and goes. Fortunately, the snowpack high up is about, what was estimated to be about 90% of normal. So, you know, we'll take that.
There are some good indications when it comes to what our moisture levels are going to be, but also some very bad indications, too. So we'll see. A lot will be known here in the next few months. And a lot will be known here, Dr. Al, in the next few months as well, about the direction for Montana and this House seat, the Western District House seat. Obviously, I think we can address that right away. There was some controversy in how late Ryan Zinke, the current congressman, announced he was not running. That's his decision. There was time for everybody who wanted to get in the race to be in the race even before that decision. And then Aaron Flint, who worked for Ryan for a while, had the rollout ready to go. So, conservatives have criticized this, you're picking a candidate for us kind of approach. And I know that set the stage kind of for this. So let's get past that. What do you think of that?
You know, in a heartbeat, Benjamin Franklin said that that we have a republic if we can keep it.
Yeah.
You know, and George Washington defined a republic as a form of government that consists of constitutional laws, unity, and the consent of the people to freely elect their own representatives. Hey, you know, I read the U.S. Constitution, and it doesn't say anywhere that our federal representatives get to select their successors, and we consent by our vote. You know, that's not a republic. So that's where my resolve is the fact that I jumped in this race to give you a choice in opposition to just consenting for a single candidate. And here we are. We're going to finish what we almost completed in 2022, and that is to win the Republican primary for this Western district.
It's one of the advantages, but also one of the criticisms, is that you're a perennial candidate. 212 for lieutenant governor, U.S. Senate 2018, again 2020 and 2022. How do you respond to that criticism?
I am a perennial candidate. Look, when you are not baptized and anointed by the establishment and by special interest groups, you have to build your brand through grassroots. And you know what? The people of Montana, they don't give their trust and confidence to anybody very easily. So, yeah, it comes through a series of being successful and through different transactions. And one of those is to run for election, be elected as a state house or representative, then be elected as a state senator, develop that experience, and then move forward. And again, if you watch the track record, I've gone from 10% of the vote statewide to 20% of the vote statewide to 40% of Western Montana in the last race. And that's how you build momentum. And I'll take that over being bought and paid for by Washington, D.C.
What was the response when that happened and you were, kind of still on the sidelines, I guess, or waiting to be called into play there? How did you decide so quickly that you needed to step up here?
You know, I will tell you that there was something that wasn't right. We watched our current congressman in the Western District. He was going around to Lincoln Reagan dinners and to the GOP kickoff in Great Falls, and he was talking about Trump and the agenda, but he never talked about himself. So he either became more humble or something else was going on. Then the second hint that something was going on was that our former football player did not jump into the ballot process on the first day like he's done so many times before. And that also meant that something else is going on. So I had a talk with my wife and said, look, this, he may not be running. And she very quickly said, look, if that's the case, then you're back in. Yeah. I told her, look, I can stay home. I got 4,000 foot of fence and 20 trees to take care of this summer. And she said, that can wait. If he's not in the race, too many people have invested in you and believe in you, and you need to jump in the race. So when this occurred, when Ryan made that a surprise announcement, I turned to my wife and she says, what are you waiting for? So we sat down and in between journalists and legislators calling saying, get in the race. I just picked up my phone and I got myself on the ballot probably about an hour after Ryan made that decision and announcement.
Well, I'm glad for that, too, because I do appreciate an open process here. Once again, it is Dr. Al Olszewski with us here. Served 13 years in the U.S. Air Force as a flight surgeon, trauma surgeon, rising to the rank of major as well during his military career, and served in the Montana legislature. Campaigns are different now, Al. It seems like, you can go back to 2012 and a few years. I guess maybe a lot of us can. But it just seems like the level of critical decisions that need to be made in our country now cannot wait. And so I think elections are very important, but they're also full of misinformation. They're also full. I mean, there's a whole industry out there, and we've seen it when they attack, conservative stance on public lands that is gets paid for messaging. How do we, as the general public, sift through all that and try to find out what's true and what's not, and what's going to happen if this guy does get in office?
What you're pointing out is something that's been going on for centuries in our country, but that with the age of electronics and social media, it is just unbelievable to watch the shock and awe of what someone can do in a negative way towards another person. Look, as an old statesman told me as a freshman legislator at in Helena, he said, look, conflict is currency. You need to get comfortable with the conflict and you need to don't take it personally and work through it. And it really does take then through that conflict is to be able to have a one-on-one conversation or a group conversation and continue to work and find common ground. Look, last time in 2022, Ryan Zinke and I were neck and neck with 1 month to go. And unfortunately for me, Ryan's campaign spent almost $1 million in 10 days calling me a pathological liar and that I exaggerate my military career. The truth is how do you exaggerate a military career when your honorable discharge papers, the DD Form 214, is less than one page long? Look, I'm not a warrior. I fix warriors. That was what I did. I'm an Air Force veteran. I'm not a combat warrior. Did I jump out of an airplane 5 times at free fall school? I did. Did I fly jets as a flight surgeon? Yes, I did. 184 hours. And of instructor time, as at an instructor base. That doesn't make me a pilot, but I had the time of my life in the military. And I want to thank everybody in Montana who pays their taxes for all of that gas that we used for flying jets and for those airplanes that took me up and dropped me out of the airplane.
Well, thank you for that service too, Alan. And it's an area that you don't feel like you have to defend, But yet in today's world, I guess everything is fair to question.
Right. Well, and again, you know, I'm a doctor. That's not who I am. That's a title. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm an Air Force veteran. Is that who I am? It's a title. It's an experience. You know, I'm Alex Shesky. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a son. I'm a Montanan. And with the vote of and consent, I will be the freely chosen next congressman for Western Montana.
We're going to open up the phones here. In fact, Skip is on the line standing by, and we'll do that here too. It's 866-627-5483. Again, if you want to call, it's 866-627-5483. Text a message, 781-627-5483. I'm going to pick up another issue that is difficult and is full of conflict. And when you say conflict is currency, I don't think the GOP spent their currency very well. The state GOP spent their currency very well when it came to there was an opportunity in my mind, Al, with Trump's election to the office. People were tired of, the lawlessness being, propagated out there. They were tired of a lot of things that men were playing women's sports, and that, third graders were being taught about gender dysphoria. There was just a lot of things wrong. And I think a lot of people responded to that. I thought there was a window for conservative values, or at least the GOP as a party, to pick up more votes there. But in Montana, the party doubled down in a different sort of way. And I know that has been a conflict that is probably more magnified in the legislature and in those GOP circles than elsewhere. But tell us, talk about that. Talk about that opportunity. Were you guys making the perfect the enemy of the good? And I shouldn't say you guys, but should I, the state GOP, but you, are the head of the GOP party in Flathead County, right?
And I'm a chairman of the Flathead County Republican Party, the largest county, of Republicans on the western side. And I would stand to say that we're really close to Yellowstone County here up in the east. Again, conflict is currency. And, but what we watched at the state level is that last legislature, we had 9 Republican senators that basically left the Republican Party, kept the R behind their name, and caucused with the Democrat Senate, creating a new majority that it was Democrat, and you could call it a solutions party. And in that situation, they ruled and they ran the Republican or the Senate during the last legislature. So fast forward then to June of last year and or following that. And what we saw was that the Montana State Party, Republican Party, got together, and all the voting members across the state said, look, we want to hold them accountable, that they basically left our party without dropping the R. And they were. They were not allowed to be seated at the convention by the vote of the people at the convention. And then further, the voting members of the Montana Republican Party statewide said, we want to know who are new candidates that say they're Republican, and we want to look at the voting record of all Republicans that that say they're Republican. And what are we going to compare it to? We're going to compare it to the Montana Republican state platform. Very simple. It's out there. And just want to know, where do you stand? Do you agree with it all? Do you agree with part of it? You don't agree with part of it? Because when you're a legislator or even a legislative candidate with the state party, you have a vote. And we have our platform committee convention occurring again on June 12th in Missoula. And we're going to sit down again and once again say, do we agree with this platform or do we need to change it? So that's the conflict. There are people who run in Republican counties as a Republican because that's how you get elected. They don't have they don't believe in the party platform. There are people who get elected as Democrats in Democrat counties, and they don't believe in the Democrat platform. They're pragmatic. They're transactional. I call them not rhinos. I call them chamber Republicans and chamber Democrats because they seem to be supported by the chamber here in the state of Montana. Guess what? Here's the joke. What's the difference between a chamber Republican and a chamber Democrat? Yeah, the answer is nothing. Right. They believe in corporate welfare and they believe in decreased regulations on them. They believe that we should be taxed, but they shouldn't be. It's an interesting proposition.
Dr. Al Olszewski is in studio with us here today, Republican candidate for the Western District, a primary upcoming on June 2nd. And in that race is Christy Jacobson, as well as Aaron Flint. And we've spoken with some Democrats as well on the other side, and we'll have more lined up. I've got invitations up, but Ryan Bussey, and you can go to our podcast page, voicesofmontana.com, and catch up on those interviews. And we've got some phone calls to get to, but Dr. Al, again, thanks for coming in here, and thanks for your service. And I want to talk a little bit, because as we chatted a little bit before, and it's alformontana.com to get more information and to download on these issues that we'll hopefully get to, too. But you grew up as part of a ranching family in the Blaine County area, and you were sharing that homestead is ready to transfer. I mean, and you're doing it in a way I think that would make a lot of Montanans proud.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Yeah, for full clarification.
Yeah,
you know, I my cousins grew up on that farm, right. And on the other side of my family, my cousins grew up on the ranch in Judith Basin County. I'm a boy born and raised in Great Falls. When my grandfather sold the farm to my uncle, my dad left Hoagland as a Hoagland Hawk and had to go to Great Falls, and he graduated from Great Falls Central Mustangs. So I got the opportunity and privilege to go spend time up on the farm in Blaine County, north of Harlem. It's a place called Hoagland. And my cousin Gary had the farm, and unfortunately he passed away. And my cousin Pat is, he retired from farming on the other side of the border in Saskatchewan. And look, my aunt, Mary, God bless her, I think one of the greatest things is that, through my uncle and my grandfather, as they built that farm, putting pieces together of other families who didn't do well in the Depression, or their family members, there was no one to transition. They built this beautiful farm with multiple sections of property. And you know what? It's transitioning to a neighbor for the next generation, for their kids to use it and be productive on the land. It didn't go to corporate farming. It didn't go into a conservation easement. It didn't turn into a subdivision. And you know, and that's the greatest gift that we can have is a transition to independent farmers for another generation to grow our food for us here in Montana.
That exemplifies what I think Montana's values are toward agriculture, and that is stewardship. That is, in my mind, I hope to hear more and more of those stories across the state of Montana. So thank you for sharing that.
Well, you're welcome. You know, and that part too, I have over 50 cousins, and most of them live in Montana. Not all have Olszewski behind their name. But at the state fair this last summer, I ran into one of my cousins from Glasgow, and he said, you know, Al, you're the only person I know that would spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to teach Montana how to pronounce Olszewski.
So we're still getting it wrong, though, aren't we?
Yeah. Oh, no, you know, again, for those that need to say it fast, you can say old jet ski. And if you're like Governor Gianforte, at a couple Lincoln Reagan dinners, he called me Dr. Oh-So-Sexy.
All right, I'll go with that one. No, I won't. We'll play it a little
bit
more.
No, you're not the governor.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. Skip and Hamilton. Skip, thanks for listening and calling in today, KLYQ Country. Good to hear from you. You're on the air here with Dr. Al Olszewski.
Oh, thank you, Tom. Good morning, Dr. Al. I try not to pronounce your last name. I've always just called you Dr. Al, and you seemed okay with that. And so I don't think you've been a perpetual candidate or a perennial candidate. I think you've been a perennial teacher. Every time I've been in your presence, I've learned something important about everything from our natural resources in Western Montana to things about the military and things to have our antenna up for so we don't get sideswiped. I wanted to ask you about something that you were a teacher of for a long time, for the last many years, and you and I discussed this before, and it has to do with the Kootenai Salish Water Pact you know the history of and the substance of, because there was a piece of legislation a few years ago in Washington, in Congress, that it, the brag was that it solved 97% of the water issues in the state of Montana. Well, I happen to live in the other 3%, and I wonder if you could update me on exactly where we stand in the future, and is there other ways that we can solve that other 3% in the future? And it's exciting that you're running. I hope everybody learns a lot in this election cycle, and I'll just leave it at that, sir. Thank you.
Nice comments, Skip. And with that question, that sets the stage for the next 30 days, I think, or three hours here, to go back and talk about that water compact.
Right.
And there's a lot into it. You have to go back into the original treaty. You have to understand some of the dynamics to come up with the way people are positioning it.
Yeah, you know, again, as all of our ranchers and farmers understand that have senior water rights are complex, and you can't talk about them in 2 minutes. I'm not an expert on the CSKT Water Compact. I'm a student of it, but a student that's been working with it and fighting against it and opposing it since 2012. In essence, what we have is a third of the state of and our federal government took the water rights of Western Montana and gave it to a smaller third party without remuneration and without it being adjudicated by a judge. It was done so unconstitutionally, and I was part of the suit as a legislator that took it in after the 2015 legislature to the Montana Supreme Court. They disagreed with us. But then again, as the legislative branch, we disagree with the judicial branch. So we're in that situation. The truth is that at the federal level, the DOJ legal theory is that the supremacy clause trumps contract law and it trumps state law. So if that's the case, and they don't want to go to court because they know they'll lose. That's why they're giving a small third party of 5,000 people on a tribal reservation over $2 billion. And they're giving them 36,816 acres of federal land to replace that land that's private within the reservation. This is a taking without remuneration or with adjudication by a judge. I'm against it, and we can change it. The big one, as you just said, is that through the Supreme Court rulings, and we can go back to Old Man Winters up on the High Line, a rancher back at the turn of the century, who stopped water going onto a reservation up on the High Line. And basically, the U.S. Supreme Court said that we need to quantitate a water right to every reservation, and it needs to be enough to make those peoples pastoral and civil. Despite all of this compact, that water right has not been quantitated. And I'm going to do that first and foremost. We're going to quantitate how much water does 5,000 people need on a reservation in Western Montana. They do not need all the water of Western Montana. They just need some of the water.
I appreciate that. I mean, the we can change it aspect of it, and how do we do it legally and in our process? Talking with candidates in the primary election, Dr. Al Olszewski in studio. It's good to see you in studio, Al. Thanks. I mean, you made a trip. It's from Kalispell.
Well, you know, it's only 7.5 hours, yeah. 8 if you go the speed limit.
Okay, so you made it in 6? Then is
no,
that what you're saying?
No.
Okay.
I know people who can make it in 6, yeah. And I will not drive with them.
I know, gotcha. Montana regained its second seat over there in 2020 with the 2020 census. The first election was in 2022, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. And Al Olszewski in studio here. We got issues I want to talk about here, and Brenda's going to pick up on one of those listening in Kalispell. I love that big stick up there, KOFI. I got a lot of friends, 1180 AM, 104.3 FM. Brenda, good morning. You're on the air here with Dr. Al Olszewski.
Good morning, and thank you. Hello, Dr. Al Olszewski. How are you this morning?
I'm mostly awake. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, you know, I'd like to comment on what you were talking about, the water compact, and to the chagrin of most Montanans, Senator Daines did push that through, and most people are really, really upset about that. But speaking of water problems, most Montanans that I've talked to recently are really concerned about the AI data centers, the potential of those going in, again, because we feel out of 15 Montanans seem to want them. The rest of them do not want them because of the possible water pollution, energy consumption, noise level, and so forth. Now, we know that Senator Daines is pro these data centers, and we know from listening to Montana Talks that your competitor, Aaron Flint, is for these data centers too. Can you give us your thoughts on those, Dr. Olszewski? Thank you.
Thanks, Brenda. Again, as we look at all issues, and this is a very good example, I'm going to use a Montana first philosophy. Again, looking through the lenses, is it does it make us free? Does it make does it help our families? And does it make life in Montana affordable? So I'm opposing artificial intelligence data centers in Montana. And for the following reasons, does it make it affordable? Look, we need high-paying jobs, and artificial intelligence is a big threat to Montanans who have white-collar jobs, who work remotely or work, physically in Montana, that they're going to be replaced. So how can you afford to raise your family if you're put out of business by artificial intelligence? Number two is that we're dealing with the water issues, as you said. We know that it requires significant amount of water to cool these data centers, and that has a great risk in polluting or contaminating our water sources. And we have pristine water here in Montana. We have to be very, very careful about making sure that we stay free. And freedom means that we have water that's freely given and freely drank. We cannot have affordability in Montana if we're competing against data centers for the electricity. It is estimated from reading the articles here in Montana is that the amount of electricity needed for all data centers proposed is 200% of what we currently use for all consumers in Montana. Where does that come from? Now, I hear people saying, well, they'll make their own nuclear plant. That's unconstitutional in Montana at this point. But if we're competing for electricity with data centers, it goes up in price and it makes Montana even more unaffordable. So these are the reasons that I oppose it. And as a congressman, as I said, my lens is for the people of Western Montana and Montana of all. And that's going to have my first priority.
I'll play devil's advocate because I'm leaning more towards supporting them, because if you want to keep things affordable, you've got to be competitive with the rest of the world. And if we don't have the kind of technology that it takes to make us competitive, then we're not going to have opportunities for affordability, in my mind. The water thing has been misdirected by some groups out there. There's new technology that and we had members of the AFL-CIO on the program to talk about how they support these and how people understand, like, 6 million gallons a month or a year. I'm hearing all kinds of different things. And they tell me the amount of water in a closed system will be the amount of usage for about a 3-house apartment building on a yearly basis. But the energy side is, I'm with you on that. I don't buy necessarily that they can bring their own power to this. Let's get into that conversation. And Brenda, thank you for your call about it. Energy, the math is not adding up. We've been this rush, irrational rush to renewables, and they want to take out dams, and that's the cleanest and cheapest form of alternative power, even though they don't want to call it alternative power. That's exactly what it is. They don't want to call it because then we have enough alternative power to meet their mandates. What's your sense on energy? That's another one of those complicated issues, and I'm with you. Affordable energy makes our economy very resilient.
Right. Again, what we need to do is we need to pay attention and know where we can find energy. We need reliable base load. We've seen that wind energy just doesn't seem to work at 35 below zero, for 2 to 3 weeks at a time. And it's confusing, but we do need to pay attention. You know, Colstrip is the proposal that we're watching is that it's going to be put into a separate entity, and that power may or may not be used for Montana. It may be used only for artificial intelligence data centers. I think the big thing is within this conversation, we need to have successful discussions and transactions or relationships showing that we're going to try to keep energy affordable in Montana for consumers, that consumers in Montana are not going to have to pay for all of those transmission lines and the creation of power generation for a third party that profits greatly at our expense. And then finally, let's look for energy. And here's a classic example. Did you know that there is a dam up on the Gibson Reservoir coming out of the Bob Marshall Wilderness? And it was designed to take a generator, electrical generator, to create a tremendous amount of power for the area of central Montana. The problem is it never got its generator as promised. And so we can, at this point, at the federal level, we can designate and authorize and appropriate a generator to go in Gibson Reservoir. And now we're creating, yes, renewable, sustainable power that's hydroelectric that then will be added to our grid, and it will be consistent, and it will be for the benefit for all of Montana.
Dr. Al Olszewski, once again, energy is a key thing here too, but I want to get on to healthcare because that's another issue that I think we're struggling with. And then AI. I'll go back to that because I'm thinking, look, we need to have more open conversations about it. AI, it's all over the board as to into how many jobs it could usurp, 11% up to 40%. Some say not even, so we don't know an awful lot about it. And we're walking into it probably with blinders on in that regard. I know I got to save some time for healthcare, but let's talk about what AI does to our society. And if it does transition us into a society where there are less employable opportunities, what does that do for our society?
By and large, any new technology is a tool, and it can be used for good. It can be used for bad. I mean, are we not watching in politics what AI generated imaging can do? Can we see what it does for deep fake pornography? What it does to hurt people? I mean, it can be a tool for good, but we're watching it also being used as a weapon to hurt people, whether it's their reputations or to a point of depression and suicide. So it does need to be regulated. I'm a Republican. I'm not a libertarian. I believe that we need to have ordered liberty. And that ordered liberty is such that we have a limited government that doesn't pick winners and losers. Rather, it creates, it acts as an umpire or referee, and it keeps the playing field level for all people in the world of social issues and economic issues. And in this situation, there needs to be solid, well-based regulation on artificial intelligence so that we can mitigate that issue of weaponization and make sure that's being used as a tool for good.
And along that lines, healthcare is kind of in the same boat in terms of it's going to require an open, honest, national conversation about where we're going. Because it seems like where we're going, especially with the initiation of Obamacare now about 14 years ago, has been to socialized medicine. And the expense is something that we can't keep up with. But yet we're also understanding the more we pay, the less services we seem to be getting from our healthcare system. I mean, these are just common kind of observations from the pocketbook side, sort of thing. What's where are we at with healthcare?
You're a good observer, and so are most Montanans. For those of us that experienced medical care before Obamacare and to now, know that there's a significant difference, and it's not for the good. What we've gone is from a patient or doctor-patient relationship with individualized healthcare to a hospital-patient contract where you're treated like cattle. You're put through the chutes, and it's called corporate medicine. And nobody's happy with this. And again, for me, a definition as a doctor of healthcare is alleviating pain and suffering of the individual in front of me. For the corporate medicine mentality, the definition of healthcare is maximizing an income stream for the entity. Okay, very, very different. In my definition, you are a person. In that other definition, you're cattle. Okay, so is healthcare a right? No. Is it a privilege? No. It's a service. So if we remember that it's a service, then let's figure out, is it for the common good? And I believe it is. And if it is a service that is for the common good, we should, as American people, figure out how to set that up. And let's look at electricity. Did we not believe that it should not be for the rich only? And that as a common good, we had authorities of government to make sure it's available to everybody? Yeah, but it didn't make it government subsidized, did it? Well, or it's not a government program. It's private, but is regulated in a different way. Why not healthcare like energy?
What will that? Well, I'm going to take a break because I'm up against it. And I want to get to your Montana First philosophy here as well to talk about that, why you're running and your call to public service. I think I got that date right. June 2nd for the primary election in Montana and your choices, party-wise, but also individually. Dr. Al Olszewski is in studio here. I've just got a few minutes to wrap things up. And Air Force veteran, I appreciate your service there. Orthopedic surgeon, you started your own practice and saw, healthcare from the inside, so to speak. And so you've got a lot of experience in these things. What was your call to public service? And then talk about your main platform here. Or what if somebody says, Al, how will you lead? What's your answer to that?
Well, again, a call to service started when I was very young. Like as I said, my family homesteaded, and they came from the old country. And my grandparents and great-grandparents said that didn't teach their children Polish or Slovakian. They taught them English. And there was two things that was passed on through these farming and ranching families and mining families is that, number one, you honor this family and everything you do, and you serve this country and this community. And that was the theme given, throughout my childhood. So I've served, whether as a lifeguard, served in the military, served as a doctor, or served in the legislature. So again, that's my call to service. Why? It's a family issue. It's a family theme. It's a mission. So let's go back. Yeah, Montana First. Look, when I talk about Montana First, this is not a catchy theme. This is not just words. This is what happens when you're a perennial candidate. When you're a grassroots candidate and you're going around over the many years for different offices, you listen to the people. And this is really the issues that people want, especially in Western Montana, for their congressman. What they want is someone who represents them, number one. And what their concerns are we going to stay free? I want the government off my back. I want to do what I want to do as long as it's reasonable and it's not illegal, unethical, or immoral. Number two, I want to raise my family, and I'm struggling in this country, in this state, to be able to raise my family the way I was raised and have access to our, to our public lands. I have to now get a ticket to go to Glacier Park. I'm being told I'm going to have to get a ticket to go on Flathead River to start rafting. Again, we need to make sure it's affordable, and it really is. So we need to look at all three of those things, not because it's catchy. It's because you told me it's important, and I believe in you. And so I'm going to take that to heart, and that's how I will serve as Western Montana's next congressman.
What are you hearing on the campaign trail?
I'm hearing a lot. Number one is that the actions of Senator Daines and Congressman Ryan or Congressman Zinke at the very end of the balloting process, trying to select a successor and minimize the chance of other people to be in the process. That's given me a heck of a tailwind moving forward. Number two is that I hear over and over, experience matters. And they said, look, Doc, you've been a state legislator. In 2022, we chose the former congressman because he had more experience. In this election, you are the one with the most experience as a legislator, and therefore, we choose you.
Today's political world is a challenge. I appreciate you throwing your hat in the ring and walking it out and giving us a chance to talk about everybody's thoughts on all these issues, Al.
Absolutely. Again, that's what this is about, is telling story, sharing story, and let's all buy into the big story.
And while you're here, could you take a look at my elbow? Maybe it's just an age thing. I don't know.
Yeah, hey. I can tell my kids, I could amputate.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.